written in the air. Let me see you playing everywhere. For your light that's shining free, I give all I am to thee. Open my eyes to the world. Open my eyes to the world.
Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And tonight is going to be a very special evening. I want to remind everybody that tonight is a call-in show, and the number to call is 888-627-6008. I have an outstanding guest tonight. Her name is Mary Tacco, and she was just voted America's Outstanding Mom. And let me tell you why. This is going to be great. Mary Tacco has been passionately encouraging mothers for the most of her adult life and believes that being a mother is one of the most important responsibilities of womanhood. Having raised five children herself and having five grandchildren now, she understands the challenges facing modern-day moms. In January of 2013, Mary's eldest daughter nominated her to be a contestant in America's Outstanding Mom pageant, and Mary won the Michigan title. She then traveled to New York to complete the pageant in a finalist and was honored to win it in the pageant in July of 2013. Mary is very concerned about the health of American children and the catastrophic rise of autism spectrum disorders, which now affects 1 in 38 boys and 2% of children overall. She has been involved in autism research for the last 15 years, and for this reason, her platform for the American Outstanding Mom Pageant 2013 was called the Heart of Autism, which is a nonprofit organization. Mary is concerned about the way that autism affects the entire family unit. According to the National Autism Association, families affected by autism face astronomical emotional and financial stress, creating hardship unlike anything our country has ever witnessed before. Sadly, the divorce rate is estimated to be near 80% of these families. Thousands of single parents are raising children with immense need for health care and therapy, which is often not covered by insurance. In addition, these parents may also become emotionally bankrupt from the daily stress and the lack of support. As the number of children with this development disability continue to skyrocket, Mary considers this a leading health crisis in the United States, of which I totally agree. Mary is delighted and honored to use her reign as the American Outstanding Mom 2013 to increase autism awareness and to help create the financial support that families need across the country. And to learn more about Mary's charity of choice, you can visit the website www.heartforautism.com. And me, Elizabeth Joyce, my goodness, when I found out what Mary was doing, I went bananas because I went to Ridgewood High School, and I went to Ridgewood High School with a man by the name of John McHugh, who has remained a wonderful friend to all of us at the high school. And we're still friends after all these years with everybody and do reunions and have meetings. He is the top lawyer in the world for vaccine study. So he's always in court helping mothers and families find out how the child got vaccinated and if the vaccination caused autism or any other abnormality. By the way, Mary was just in Detroit Sunday and appeared on Fox News. The show is called Let It Rip, discussing the low vaccine rate in Michigan and how they want to introduce legislation to be removed, to remove the philosophical examination, please excuse me. And anyway, Mary is here and she's going to talk about risk, responsibility, and rights of vaccines, among other things. Good evening, Mary.
Oh, Elizabeth, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
Well, thank you. You know, this is about finding out, and we need to find out everything that goes on that is important to us. The mission is to empower people to take responsibility. So talk about Mary and what you've been doing.
Well, it all really started before I had my first child back in the 70s, Elizabeth. I You know, my ex-husband's a chiropractor. We were studying all about natural health and how to promote it naturally. And then, of course, before you have the children, you start looking at all the things that children are, you know, normally going to deal with. And back then, we knew that there was something intrinsically wrong with injecting toxins into the body. And the more that I studied natural immunity and understood how it naturally happens in the body, just beautifully, we actually made the informed decision back in 1980 to not vaccinate our first child.
And did you not vaccinate him with anything like typhoid or measles?
Nothing. My children, all five, never had a vaccine.
I wanted to get that straight, because some people will vaccinate on things like smallpox, but they won't vaccinate on chickenpox, that type of thing.
Right. No, and it went even beyond that, because we raised our children outside the medical model. The medical model in this generation is you have your baby in a hospital. Every 2 months, your baby goes into a doctor for a well baby visit. The doctor will do some minor, you know, exams on them. And then they bring out five injections full of vaccinations to inject your child. This is the standard well baby visit.
Right. And of course, what John does is he fights the idea of having three vaccinations at the same time, because it can send a child into toxic shock. And unfortunately, Mary, I've witnessed it. And I have always believed that autism and Down syndrome and some other things can come from vaccinations, either in the mother or in the child.
Well, we definitely know that children are over-medicated in this country. Mm-hmm. And I believe the pediatricians are really the fault, because what they do is vaccinate. Dr. Robert Mendelson was a renowned pediatrician who wrote a book called How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor. And it's the one book that I carry on my website for all new moms, because in this book he identifies all of the normal childhood illnesses that children go through and how they actually build the immune system and how we're intended to allow our children to have these illnesses, and how the purpose of the pediatrician is really to vaccinate your children, because they don't believe these illnesses are good. They don't believe that they're safe. When in the years and centuries, it is known that people, as they're born, the first dozen years of life, they will have infectious illnesses, and that this is how they develop their immune system.
So I believe that's true, but I do believe that some of the vaccination, the hot for it was the smallpox, vaccine that came out, and also polio. Those two things have been helpful. There are others like mumps and measles and that type of thing that you do not have to be vaccinated for, but some of the serious ones, I'm wondering, how do you feel about that?
My research indicates that none of them are good. And I'll tell you why, and I give you specifics about it. On my website, childhoodshots.com, I have a whole section under polio, because I want people to understand, number one, what these diseases look like and the incidence of death from them. And so I went through great measures to do a ton of research on these and find out statistically how many people were dying from polio. Polio was a real illness, but it was prevalent in the turn of the century. In the 18th century, in the turn of the century, before we had good nutrition, clean water, and sanitation, all of these infectious illnesses are usually prevalent in parts of the world where they do not have clean water, sanitation,
Correct.
And good nutrition. As
Correct.
We began in the early 20s to change this, I mean, we started, most people lived off of well water and then city water. City water was not clean until we started adding chlorine to it. So it was really in the early 20s, 30s, and 40s where we started putting sanitation and sewer in and started cleaning up our water that we began to see all of these illnesses decline dramatically. They became normal childhood illnesses. I was one of 11 children. We all got chicken pox. We all got measles. We all got mumps. The whole time I grew up, you know, nobody died from these infectious illnesses, unless they were already very sick from something else. So during the 50s and 60s and 70s, these were considered fairly normal childhood illnesses. But you see, the first polio vaccine that came out, and I want your listening audience to take the time to research this so they know that Mary Tocco doesn't make things up. She shares documentation. But right after they introduced the first Salk polio vaccine. There was,
and that was around the 1920s, right, Mary?
No, no, no. This would have been in the early 1950s.
Oh, 50s. Okay, I thought it was sooner than that.
No, it was in the 50s when they started doing them on a mass scale. They were experimenting for many years.
Okay.
But it was when President Roosevelt said, okay, we're going to get this vaccine out to everybody, regardless, and they created it.
Well, that's because he had polio. That's true.
Yes, he was one person who did. And remember, he was also in his 60s at that time. A lot of improvement had taken place in the 60 years that he was living before this.
That's correct.
And when you look carefully, you see that as we improved, clean water supply, better distribution of fruits and vegetables, and also sanitation was a huge part of it.
And refrigeration. We've come miles with refrigeration.
You know, people don't realize in the early 20s, they didn't have refrigerators. Many people had root cellars and ice sheds.
Ice box, and the stuff.
Exactly. So imagine root cellars, how the animals and the, you know, the little critters, the rodents could go in and infestate the foods. It was very different back then. They used to salt meat and hang it.
That's right.
Out in the air. So, I mean, things were very, very different back then. They had outhouses, and they had their water source was often the river or the lake where the animals would also drink and bathe. And they washed their clothes in these bodies of water. So we didn't have any way to clean water and to filter it out. We didn't have mass distribution of veggies and fruits. You had to eat what you could grow during the summer, and you had to store things in the winter, or you starved to death. So it really, really has more to do with improving all of these things. So anyway, the Salk vaccine comes out, and within 3 months, 70,000 people were suffering with severe paralysis and were dying. People can Google it. It's called the Cutter Incident.
And you will find... was that from the vaccination?
Yes, this is the first polio vaccine, Salk vaccine, the Cutter Incident. You will find that there were people dying and dropping like crazy. Well, President Roosevelt called a huge meeting, and they discovered it was the vaccine, and they actually halted the Salk polio vaccine for many, many, many months. And see, people don't know this because they so conveniently hide this in the media. Mm-hmm. And it was Sabin's vaccine. At the same time, Sabin was trying to produce his vaccine because there was a ton of money to be made.
Right.
And so Sabin introduced his vaccine many months later, and they started vaccinating with that one. And within 1 year, I referenced one study that showed that in Maine, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Vermont, polio tripled in 1 year. And so then our government was freaking out. Oh, my gosh, the people are going to lose faith and confidence in the FDA, and they're going to stop getting the vaccination. And so what they did was they ordered all of the physicians in the hospitals and in offices around the country and Canada, they ordered them to call it viral, non-viral meningitis when anyone came to the hospital or to the doctor's office.
So they renamed it for tricky. Well, that's what they're doing with something called aspartamine, because aspartamine is another thing that causes autism. And it causes dementia, and they've renamed it. So it's similar to something like that. This is modern.
And this
now.
Is what happens. This is what happens when your government is able to get in there and manipulate, and they manipulate. They work with the CDC and the FDA and the American physicians out there, and they actually change the name of polio. A person had to have paralytic polio for up to 31 days for them to call it polio. And if they did, nobody heard about it. So it was really, there was a lot of manipulation going on. And I actually have actual documents from the Queen of England telling all of the physicians in Canada to do the same. So this is not Mary Toko's opinion. This is a fact. And so, and during that period of time, the whole polio program almost completely fell apart. Because the people that were in charge of it, believe it or not, Nixon at the time, took over. I'm going to pull my slides up so that I mention this, just to let you know what happened. There was a woman, let me see, I want to pull up my slides really quickly here.
All right. Well, you know what? When you do that, we're going to take a little break. We're going to listen to Perry Como. And I picked this song especially for tonight. It's called Bless the Beasts and the Children. So let's listen to Perry sing about our blessed children while she pulls up her slides, while Mary pulls up her slides.
Bless the beasts and the children, for in this world they have no voice. They have no choice. Bless the beasts and the children, for the world can never be. Light their way when the darkness surrounds them. Give them love and let it shine all around them. Bless the beasts and the children. Give them shelter from the storm. Keep them safe. Keep them warm. Light their way.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and that was Perry Como singing Bless the Beasts and the Children. I played that song tonight because we're talking about vaccines and should we have mandatory vaccines and what they're really doing to the beasts and the children. And this is a call-in show. You can call 888-627-6008. My guest tonight is Mary Tacco, who has been called an Outstanding Mother of the Year because of the work that she's done for the research of vaccine. Welcome back, Mary.
Great to be with you, Elizabeth.
And we were talking so much about how government has tried to cover this up, and I'd like to bring out some really important points for the next 15 minutes. So what do you think is the most important thing? I'd like to talk about toxic effects, flu shots, and autism.
Yeah, I think they're all, there's so much. We really could dedicate 4 hours to this subject, and I know we only have, maybe another 45 minutes. And I will definitely talk about the toxic effects and the ingredients. I just wanted to conclude on what I was saying about the polio vaccine, because I think so many people are under the assumption that the polio vaccine has eradicated polio, when in fact that is not really how it's worked. And if I may, I'll talk a little bit about in the 50s and 60s when we first introduced it to this country, it was causing a huge public scandal. By 1955, the head of the NIH, Dr. William Sebrell, resigned. Also, the Secretary of Health and Education stepped down. And in 1955, Richard Nixon was appointed to reorganize the National Institute of Health. And they discovered, also in 55, that the poliovirus cultured on green African monkey kidneys were contaminated with hundreds of retroviruses passed on to the human beings, including viruses that mutate to cancer cells. In 1959, Sarah Stewart was a medical doctor. She actually duplicated cancers in hamsters from the monkey cell cultures that they developed the polio vaccine from. It said that we're going to have huge outbreaks of polio, of cancer in the next generation. In 1976, after Jonas Salk was famous for the polio vaccine, he actually testified that the live virus vaccine, which was the vaccine of choice, was the principal, if not the sole, cause of all polio in the United States since 1961. So even the maker of it came out and said, yep, it's been causing polio. So we have this, we have, you know, people are going, my gosh, why don't we know this? Why is our government hiding it? And it's because they don't want people to know. They truly
well, the
don't want people
companies
to know.
Have the power. But Mary, the one thing that I wanted to say is I have never in my years, and I've had a few, seen so much breast cancer as I have in the last 15 years. So do you think this has to do with flu shots and toxic effects?
I think it's all of the vaccines. If people are getting flu vaccines every year, if they're getting the Gardasil cancer vaccine, if they're getting, you know, many, many of the people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and 80s got the polio shot, they got the smallpox.
Yep.
You know, back then, science didn't know a whole lot about what they know now. Back then, everything that we know today puts all of that in the dark ages. And yet the very foundation of vaccinology is based on all of that old, outdated understanding. We know now, more now in the last 10 years, than we knew all of the time that mankind has walked on this earth about the natural immune
system. Oh, I agree.
I
also think that they should be updating some of these vaccines and improving them all the time. Doesn't that happen?
No, in fact, what's really scary is they're bioengineering them now. They're able to make them in record time because they're bioengineering them. And the problem is there's no long-term safety studies done on any of these vaccines because the government refuses to do them. We have so many adults right now who are sick with all kinds of chronic illness, and I know it's not just the vaccines, but this generation of children are losing their childhood. They're being robbed of their childhood because of the vaccinations they're getting. Now, I don't know how many you got it is of this. I got 3 to 4 vaccines the whole time I was alive.
Well, I know I got smallpox. I know I got TB. I know I got polio. And I know I got measles and chickenpox. But I wound up having chickenpox 5 times in this lifetime. I had TB when I was 5.
Just so
you
know,
I must have been
had
a sensitive person. I'm extremely sensitive. You know, here I am in my later years, and my insurance company keeps asking me how come I'm not on pharmaceutical medication and how come I'm not going to the pharmacy and getting my meds. And I don't have meds.
Good for you, because you've opted for another way of living. And really, I think that's my message, too, is that drugging ourselves, injecting ourselves with neurotoxic elements, especially our children, is not working. We have a whole generation of sick kids. And the bottom line is, if we're not willing to stop and look at what we're doing and we just keep doing it, we could literally destroy a whole generation of children. And
well,
so
there's even more to it than that. I mean, there's a lot of things that they're covering up besides vaccines, although that's what we are talking about tonight, of course.
Right.
But they're
right. They're
bioengineering food. They're not being honest about what's going on in the airstream with the nuclear waste
exactly. Or
a lot of things.
Exactly.
I think what's going on is that kids are born differently. No child is the same, and they have a very different vibration. So some people might be able to tolerate these vaccines, and some may not be able to. So having it mandatory needs to change. Do you see that happening?
It's either going to happen or we're all going to be under some form of martial law where they're forcing it. And this is why I fight so diligently about educating parents. Number one, it is your right and your decision, and you must maintain the right to decide. There are thousands, if not millions, of parents now who are learning about what's in the vaccine and learning about what they're doing to the body and the immune system. There are physicians,
but medical they're
doctors,
learning about
PhDs,
it after their children have autism. That's the sad part. And the other thing is, I think that a way of martial law is the insurance company saying, I'm not going to insure you unless you take your meds. You can't come to school unless you're vaccinated, because you'll give it to all the other kids. That's what they do in the East. Are they doing that where you live?
If vaccines protect, they should be protected. And the reality is, they don't. And I know the first thing that comes to people's mind when we talk about this is the supposed pertussis whooping cough outbreaks that are going across the country. We have been told a lie by our government that it is the unvaccinated children who are causing these outbreaks. when in fact that is not true. According to Dr. David Witt, who works out in California and was asked to look at the pertussis outbreaks, by the way, people can Google this. He is an infectious disease specialist at the Kaiser Permanente Medical Center in San Rafael, California. He was the one who discovered that children were having outbreaks of whooping cough. And when he looked at the data, this is what he said. Quote, we started dissecting the data. What was very surprising was the majority of cases were in fully vaccinated children. That's what started catching our attention. We expected it was the unvaccinated. And it's a fact. There was another study that came out even just this year. And it basically, and I'm going to try to reference it, it basically said that if your child or you get the whooping cough vaccine, which is called pertussis, you become a carrier of that vaccine or of that illness and can spread it to other people.
So, and that's true with a lot of things. I'm even beginning to feel that some of the things that they give us to make us safe, that we do spread. They say they're non-spreading diseases, but I think they are. I even think that some cancers are communicable.
I wouldn't doubt it. And then that's the flu shot. It's terrible what we're doing with the flu shot. Last year, in this country, we have something called the vaccine court. And last year, between May 16th and August 15th, we settled 77 cases in our compensation system, resulting in millions and millions of tax dollars money to pay for people who were killed or severely injured from vaccines. And 50 of those cases were for flu vaccines, because now they're pushing flu vaccines like they're candy.
Right. They are. And if you don't take a flu shot, you get a letter from your insurance company telling you that you have to take your flu shot. I don't take a flu shot. I haven't had one in 5 years. Although I'm sorry that I've had them before then.
Well, what do you think
that people can do, number one, to get this information, and number two, to spread it to other people in their community?
Well, first of all, I speak around the country and Canada.
And what is your website?
Really interested, my website is childhoodshots.com.
Good.
On my website, I have lots of articles on the front page. One of them is that influenza report, what they don't want you to know about influenza. I encourage them to copy it off, take it to their doctor, say, excuse me, doctor, I'm concerned. This one's a researcher, and this is what, and it's referenced. So this isn't Mary Toka's opinion. You've got the references and the studies there to back you up. Also, there's a vaccine website called novaccine.com, and that is the World Association for Vaccine Education. You can go on there, and you can look up all the different vaccines and all of their ingredients. Because if you go in and you take a vaccination, you're basically saying that I agree to take this shot. And if you don't know what you're injecting, you really shouldn't be agreeing to that shot. You
That's
really need to know
true.
What it is you're injecting.
Absolutely true. This is wonderful information, and it is so important, especially when it comes to autism and other childhood. I wanted to ask you, one of my people that I was talking to this afternoon has a child with ADHD, and she thinks that that could come from vaccines. What do you think?
Absolutely. Children of this generation, two out of every four children, 50% of our kids right now are on some kind of medication on a daily basis. Autism rates are 1 in 50. ADHD is skyrocketing. I believe that everything from learning disabilities, ADHD, childhood depression, childhood bipolar, seizure disorders, gut disorders, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, all of these things are the result of the vaccination. And there are medical journal articles to back that up. This is not my opinion. There are journals from every, you can't even imagine how many studies are coming out right now. And the problem is the CDC never talks about this. They never mention all of these studies coming out from all of their major journals. They only let people know what they want them to know.
Absolutely. So it's called manipulation and control. Well, I know that we have to get a lot more information on this, Mary, and I know there's going to be more dates with you on Let's Find Out. But right now we're going to go into commercials, and then we're going to be back and we're going to talk about some aluminum and phenethol and formaldehyde and those types of things that are in vaccinations. This is Elizabeth Joyce and Let's Find Out. And Mary and I will be back right after this.
The X-Zone is a late-night internationally syndicated radio, television, satellite, and internet talk show, which deals with a variety of subjects, but usually ones that relate to the world of the paranormal, metaphysics, and the science of parapsychology. It was created by the Canadian broadcaster Rob McConnell and first aired in 1993. The X-Zone airs 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, and is distributed internationally by the X-Zone Broadcast Network. It is hosted by the show's creator and executive producer, Rob McConnell. The X-Zone radio show is located in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. The X-Zone radio and TV show is the only Canadian radio show that is syndicated to a truly international listening and viewing audience via conventional professional broadcasting and satellite means, not only the internet. The X-Zone is syndicated on an international basis outside of Canada and has more than 400,000 listeners as an international audience. Listen for Elizabeth Joyce and Rob McConnell on the X-Zone at www.xzoneradiotv.com. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. Let's Find Out is looking for guests for our show on bbsradio.com. This is a special opportunity for you. Do you have a life-changing product or service such as coaching, books, holistic products, workshops, animal psychics, or anything at all that you would like to advertise? Here's your opportunity to prominently present yourself before a worldwide loyal audience of Let's Find Out. A fee is required to be included in this exciting promotional lineup, and the proceeds enable you to be advertised all week on Let's Find Out and Facebook, and to receive your show archive for you to put on your website. Let's Find Out is a life-changing show and home to many groups throughout the world with several worldwide affiliates. We discuss holistic health modalities, energy healing, psychic sensitivity, the paranormal, past lives, keeping healthy naturally, and other metaphysical subjects. We have a great listening audience, and we utilize a 3,000-plus email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself and your business. We send out an email to our extensive fan base promoting your appearance on Let's Find Out. BBS will provide an archive within 24 hours after your show airs, free for you to download and share. As a guest, you will be able to advertise your appearance on your website blog, as well as to email and invite all your contacts. Let's Find Out will keep an archive of the pod show along with your website link. Let's Find Out will forward any and all email from their listeners to you after the show regarding your airtime so that you can add this to your email and contact list. Let's Find Out thank you for taking the time to being a guest on our show. To query us, please send us an email to elizabeth.joyce.radio@gmail.com, and we will be happy to contact you. Thank you. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out, and now it's time for our Metaphysical Book Corner. Tonight's book is called Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity, Developing Your Sixth Sense by Elizabeth Joyce. This is a series of books of spiritual classes taught by Elizabeth Joyce over the last 3 decades. It's a how-to book, and book one opens yourself up to receive the higher energies and develop your intuition and your wisdom along with your spirituality. It begins with discussing white light, the chakras, the aura, energy and natural healing, ESP, telepathy, past life regressions, and best of all, the seance. There is information in this book along with meditations and exercises to help guide you through these experiences. Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity tells you what to do and what not to do, what to look out for when working with these mystical energies, and the basis for opening up and working with your sixth sense, how to strengthen your mind, body, and spirit. It's a fascinating book. And book two will be coming along right behind it so that you can learn more about dreams, astrology, and other metaphysical subjects. There are three books to this series. This is a book to be used as a tool as you develop your spirituality. Opening to your intuition and psychic sensitivity, Developing Your Sixth Sense, Book 1, is available at Visions of Reality, www.new-visions.com, as well as amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. Go out and pick it up. You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com, Station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Let's Find Out and our honored guests come to us every other Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you would like to call in and ask a question, please dial 888-627-6008 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Now, if you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety, a podcast will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and now it's time for the Metaphysical Corner. Mary Tocco has studied 28 years of research on the effect of vaccines, especially with children. Mary knows that many people are concerned about the vaccine policy in this country. Over the last 25 to 30 years, Mary has seen the increased demand for vaccine education and has met many people who are interested in helping to educate the people in their communities. Her website is childhoodshots.com. Mary has studied infectious diseases, diet and nutrition, having a vaccine when you're pregnant, raising children, our immune system, and disease and disorders. Mary Tocco is not a physician. She does not give medical advice. Her website is chock full of naturally based products that Mary has used and recommends to her family and friends because she believes they are stellar in their performance. Mary is very careful to only recommend products that she has had personal results with. There is no guarantee intended or implied that any of her products will give you the same results that she has observed for herself. Mary provides compelling information to help you make informed healthcare decisions. The mission is to empower people to take responsibility for their health, to understand the options available, and to encourage natural, non-invasive, vitalistic health using unvaccinated children. To get her DVD and CD package, go to her website, childhoodshots.com. Read a little bit about her thinking process and what many, many thousands of people think across the country. Perhaps invite her to your group or church to educate you and share your story of what's happened. Again, her website is childhoodshots.com. She has books, Are Vaccines Safe? That's her CD. And she has a wonderful package called Vaccine Education Package. These are important. They're important if you have children, and they're important perhaps to understand as you're raising your children in case they've had their own side effects. So go to childhoodshots.com and get your vaccine education package, and let's all find out.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight. From a distance, there is home. is the voice of every man. From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. And there are no guns, no.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and that was Bette Midler singing From a Distance. And my guest tonight is Mary Tocco, and we are talking about the dangers of vaccine and vaccinations. Does vaccine really cause autism? And if vaccines do these things, what are the ingredients that cause the ill effects? Good evening, Mary. Can you answer that question?
Absolutely. And I like to always give people resources as well. Again, I'm going to mention a website, novaccine.com. You can look up all the different vaccines by make and model and look and see for yourself what the ingredients are. But one of the biggest concerns now is the amount of aluminum in the vaccines, the thimerosal, which is a form of ethyl mercury, phenol, acetone, formaldehyde. There's MSG, monosodium glutamate, which is a man-made excitotoxin that they are now putting in vaccines. We also have peanut adjuvants, and that's one reason why children are so sick with peanut allergies. And we have food allergies like from dairy and casein and wheat, because they've been injecting these things into our bodies, in our children's bodies, and they don't belong in the bloodstream. They belong in the gut, in the stomach, or the digestive tract. So there's a lot of things going on with the vaccinations that are causing toxic reactions in the human body. So I think the first one I want to talk about is aluminum. Back in the year 2000, we had congressional hearings about the mercury in the vaccines. By the way, the mercury's been in the vaccine since the 30s, but as they began to increase the number of shots for the children in the 90s, that's when we really started to see a problem. So they had to reduce the mercury because of public pressure. And the mercury, by the way, is an adjuvant that was put in vaccines, or a preservative, or a sanitizer. There's three different ways that they said it was useful. But all of those ways, nonetheless, the mercury is a neurotoxic element. There's no safe level of mercury that is acceptable for the human body. So they reduced it down. Yeah, they reduced it down.
Even the senior citizens are suffering from mercury, and they have to have all of their fillings redone.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm not a senior. Well, I guess I am a senior. But amalgam fillings is another source of mercury toxicity. But the biggest one we're using right now in vaccines is aluminum. In fact, almost every over-the-counter medication and almost every medical injection has some form of aluminum, which is terrible because it, too, is a neurotoxin. And the doctors say, well, we have to have aluminum and mercury in the vaccines because they're adjuvants. Well, an adjuvant is an agent that stimulates the immune system and increases the response to the vaccine so that they use less vaccine. A vaccine without an adjuvant is useless.
And so, can I tell you my little story about that, Mary?
Sure.
It's like eating cardboard, and the cardboard's going into the stomach, and the stomach is saying, I don't know where this cardboard should go. Where should this cardboard go? It's not food. I'm not used to it. Oh, let's put it over here where we're starting lung cancer. We'll put it over there where there's some sick tissues. And then it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. So anything that is non-food, non-processable, like thimerosal or formaldehyde or aluminum, gets put into the sickest area of our body or the weakest area of our body, which would enhance whatever is going on.
Exactly. And just so people can understand the amount of aluminum that's in an average vaccine, there was only one study done on infants and aluminum injection. And what I didn't know years ago, and I know now, is that when a baby is born early, premature in a hospital, they are given intravenous nutrition. Little did I know that that nutrition is called parenteral nutrition, is full of aluminum. Mm. So if you had a premature child and they got any kind of IV therapy, they most likely got a big dose of aluminum. But there was
Do you think that could affect their brain or their thinking or their IQ?
Absolutely. And I actually, when I do my lectures, I give the reference. What they did was they took 100 babies that were premature, and they reduced the amount of aluminum that they were getting, and then they left it the way it is for 100 other babies. So 200 babies were in the study, and what they found is the children who got the normal amount of aluminum, that they the aluminum builds up in the blood, brains, and becomes toxic in the for the bones in the brain. They said premature babies have reduced kidney function, and they showed impaired neurological development at 18 months in the babies who got the normal amount of aluminum. And so they said that at the end of this study in 1994, they said anything over 20 micrograms for an infant is toxic. Well,
oh,
in our country,
one microgram is toxic.
Exactly, it is. But that's what they said. You know, to be safe, anything over 20 micrograms.
What do you think we can do to put a stop to it, Mary?
Well, the only thing we can do is educate people and get people to stop going to these doctors who want to inject this garbage. I'm being very blunt.
Let me ask you a question, Mary. When the mother has a baby in the hospital, does the mother give permission to the doctor to give these vaccinations? Is that a way of stopping it? Who gives permission?
Well, the very first vaccine given in the hospital, day one, yes. The mother gives them, when she signs her paperwork to get in, she tells them that they can do whatever is medically necessary. If she does not want the first vaccine, she has to sign. She has to write it out. She has to be very strong, or the husband or the dad or the support person has to be very strong and not let that baby out of their sight, because if that baby goes to a nursery, it's going to get the hepatitis B vaccine, which is an adult disease that affects drug users and prostitutes. So standard procedure in this country is day one, before they're even out of the delivery room, they're injected with a hepatitis B vaccine. Now, that vaccination contains 250 micrograms of aluminum.
There must be a way that the parents can put a stop to it. Do they have to do it through the physician?
No, they have to simply, you have to let your physician know, you have to let the nurse know, you have to let everyone.
Okay.
The biggest thing is they have to be adamant and outspoken. My baby is not to get that vaccine. No shots are to be given to my baby. I mean, before the baby's born, right after the baby's born, dad has to watch over that baby, or family has to watch over that baby, because they have it right there in the delivery room, ready to give it to that child.
And they give it to every baby, so they wouldn't necessarily know that this one has been instructed not to. Of course,
exactly.
If you put Lowercase with a big red flag, maybe that would work, huh?
Well, you really have to, every hospital is unique, every situation is unique. The parents really have to be adamant to make it very clear that my child is not to receive that vaccination. That vaccine, as I said, contains 250 micrograms of aluminum, and the safety level is anything over 20 is toxic. So,
and I want to say something else, too. I don't know if the mothers that already have their children, maybe somebody's got a six-month-old that's listening, or a three-month-old and they've had some shots, that you have up to 3 years to watch the child and see if there's any kind of a reaction. I know one girl in Alabama who had a child, and she didn't react to the vaccine until she was two, and it absolutely threw her off. She became totally debilitated, and now they're in court. So it's very difficult. You need to watch. It takes a while for it to appear. Is that right, Mary?
Well, sometimes the consequences are very severe and very quick. For example,
and
if a baby gets the vaccine,
if
a baby gets a vaccine and they have a severe high fever and they're screaming all night long, an unusual high-pitched scream, that is a sign of brain inflammation.
Yes.
Called encephalitis. If they are lethargic and their eating habits change, that's a sign of vaccine injury. If they pass out or if they sleep unusually long after a vaccine, like 15 or 20 hours,
that's
that is a sign of vaccine injury. Right. And the
my
thing
oldest
is,
son
is
was 5 pounds when he was born, and after he had his vaccinations, he slept like for 3 days, and they kept saying, don't worry, it's only the vaccination.
Oh, my word, that's terrible. But you know what it is? They might get through the first one. It might be the second or the third set, because babies get 38 vaccines by the time they are 18 months. So every
my
2
goodness.
Months, they're not getting one or two. They're getting between 5 to 13 vaccines in one visit.
Are all of them necessary, Mary? Why so
none
many?
None of them are necessary. In my book, none of them are necessary. When you understand how vaccinations insult the immune system and go completely against how nature would build immunity, you realize none of them are necessary. The focus must be on promoting health naturally, understanding the role of nutrition and breastfeeding and natural birth, how all of these things support natural and healthy children.
And so my grandmother used to say, and she used to say that when you're breastfed, you're immune to everything for at least 2 years. You're just not going to get sick.
And that's the truth.
Teething is one thing. That's a reaction to a cutting in the mouth, but that's not the same thing as having a blood disease or getting sick.
Exactly. Children are going to run fevers. It's natural. It's part of the immune system developing. Anyone who understands, you know, natural immunity knows that fevers are part of it. We all run fevers the first 5 years of life, and then they magically disappear until we have some serious illness. But fevers are a very important part of immunity, you know?
I think that we want to retell these people that you do have a vaccine education package available on your website. And which website is that, Mary?
My website is childhoodshots.com. I have
and that's
a DVD.
Where you can get the vaccine education package.
And you can also get my DVD, which is called Our Vaccine Safe. And in that DVD, I cover everything from congressional hearings, vaccine ingredients, vaccine side effects, you know, citations in the medical journals about all of the things that vaccines can cause. I go into specific vaccines, and I talk about natural immunity. The DVD is it's like one of the largest selling DVDs in the country. I've sent it all over the world, and it's a great way to get that foundation down so that you can then go on and do more research and educate yourself and share this DVD with family members and you know, teachers and pastors and, you know, sisters and brothers who are going to have babies, you know, family members, because I am on a mission to educate parents so that they can make informed vaccine decisions.
Tell us about your touring. Tell us where you're going to be speaking next.
Well, I'm going to do 3 lectures the first week of March in the state of Michigan. And if you live anywhere near Michigan, try to get to one of these events. The events are currently up on my website under Mary Tocco's speaking events. I'm also going to be traveling on, and these are not on my website yet, but I'm going to be in Branson, Missouri. I'm going to be in Maple Grove, Minnesota. I'm going to be in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I'm also going to be in Pennsylvania. I'm going to be back in New York on Long Island in July. If you're anywhere in the New York area, I'm scheduling other ones. If people out there would love to bring me into their conference or to their
yeah,
church.
Yeah, there's a wonderful girl
autism.
On Long Island. I'll let her know. Her name is Ellen. And I'll let her know that you're going to be on Long Island. We have 2 groups on Long Island. That would be very good. It's wonderful to get all of this information out. And people all across the country should be invited. You and I'm just so thrilled you've been on Let's Find Out. And Mary, we're going to bring you back. We're going to bring you back probably sometime in May so we can have more information.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. It's been a pleasure. And God bless you. And, you know,
what is your
together
contact?
We can change the world. Oh, my contact information, my email is mary@marytocco.com. That's T-O-C-C-O. mary@marytocco.com. My website is childhoodshots.com. And I have a Facebook page as well that people can like. On my Facebook page, I post all kinds of good articles and research pertaining to health from every kind of, you know, every kind of topic. So.
Well, that's wonderful. And this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. My guest has been Mary Tocco. We've been discussing vaccines, childhood diseases, autism, and all kinds of things that lead from toxins that are put into our body. This has been a great show, and it's a must to add to your archive. we're going to be going into the meditation now. And the one that I chose for tonight is a song by Diana Ross called Reach Out and Touch Someone. I know that it's a little different than me doing a guided meditation. However, it's very, very important that we start spreading the love, spreading the caring, and spreading the hugging and touching in this planet. We need more of that. Next week, I'm going to be doing some lecturing on my three new books. I've written a trilogy of lessons for opening up your intuition and bringing more awareness to yourself and your world through reaching out. Again, Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out. And we'll be back on March 10th. Hope to see you then. Thank you and good night.